You're listening to a Centro Church podcast.
Good evening, everyone. Who's excited to be here tonight? I'm super pumped, mainly because we're going to Eat Street after the service. But no, I'm really excited to share a message that has actually been on my heart for quite some time. So buckle your seats in, get ready for this. I'm really excited. Do you remember being a kid and going to sleep and laying there, your legs are restless, your legs are in pain, you're like, "Mom, why are my legs painful? What's going on?" And she'd be like, "It's because you're growing." I don't know if there's much evidence around this. I know it's something that my mom used to say to me as I was going to bed at night. But there's a point to be made here. Growth doesn't actually happen overnight. It takes time, it's uncomfortable, sometimes perceived as painful, and it's often when we sit down to rest that we actually notice its symptoms. I heard it once said that in order for something to change, something has to change. How silly and yet so profound is this statement? We live our lives wishing and hoping for something to change, and yet we fail to realize that that actually takes time, and more than that, that actually requires growth. Dr. Caroline Leaf puts it this way: we literally rewire our brains at each stage in our life with our mind, which is why shifts in our relationships and situations take getting used to and feel strange at first. So if it's painful, then why? I'm actually really fascinated by pain. I work as a midwife and I see women coming in labor every day, and I look after women who are screaming in pain, crying, and you'd think they're about to have their baby and they're hardly even in labor. And then the other spectrum of that, I have women come in and you think, nah, this one's going to go home. She does not look like she's in labor. She doesn't look like she's in pain at all. And we check them and they're literally about to birth their baby, and yet they haven't even hardly made a sound. Pain is a result of an actual or perceived threat, which is processed by the brain. What I believe is associated with pain is actually fear. Fear of the unknown and fear due to lack of experience. I mean, how interesting is it that if you've been through a situation before, a circumstance, you can recognize it for what it is. If you came out the other side of it, all your limbs still hanging on, you know that you're probably going to be okay. And so your brain can recognize that and interpret that and realize that what this is and be able to move past it. I'm sure you've all heard before that what you focus on grows. It's something that Pastor John used to say all the time. So if all your focus is on how painful something is, there's no possible way that you're going to look past that and to see anything that it could possibly be more than that, or see what that experience might have to offer. You'll be totally consumed by how you're feeling. We create these mental myths, like our parents telling us we are experiencing growing pains. The title of my message is "Why Does Growing Feel Painful?" And I want to look at this scripture in Genesis 15, verse 1 to 6, and unpack it a little bit and see what God actually has to say about this. It says, "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward.' But Abram said, 'Sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?' And Abram said, 'You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir.' He took him outside and said, 'Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said, 'So shall your offspring be.' Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness." So to simplify this story, basically, here is Abram and Sarai. They have been trying to have a baby for a number of years. They are now well and truly into their 90s. I'm sure Abram has pretty much given up hope. Sarai, you could pretty much say, is a barren woman. And yet here God shows up in the midst of this situation in a vision to Abram and says, I have a different plan for you. I actually have a promise for you that you will have a child. The situation seems completely hopeless, but God gives him a promise that he will see the miracle of a child. I want to give you 5 things you can do while you're growing so that it doesn't have to feel painful. Growth that can actually lead to fullness and wholeness in your life. You know, even Abram had to grow. He had to grow his perspective. He had to grow his mind to believe such a thing. He had to change his beliefs, his direction for his future. He had to overlook his current situation. He needed to mature before he could accept and receive this promise. Here is this old man. The odds are significantly stacked against him, let alone his wife. And yet I believe growth always leads to maturity. What is the first thing that God says to Abram? He says, do not be afraid. The first thing you can do is eliminate fear and put your trust back in the one who brought you here in the first place. You know, I'm not saying that this isn't going to be uncomfortable or that it's not going to be easy, but I'm saying it doesn't have to be painful. There's a difference. Why does God say this to Abram? Do not be afraid. Because when you're choosing to believe in God and what he's saying over your life, you must choose to eliminate fear. God commands, and then we actually have to choose. Another example of a command is in Exodus 20, verse 12, and it says, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. It's your choice if you honor your parents, but what does it say? That you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And just as it says in Genesis 15, verse 1, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. God reminds Abram who he is. How often does God need to remind you who he is? It sounds absolutely crazy, but there is always a blessing that comes and the fulfillment of a promise when you obey God's commands. When you choose faith over fear, to not focus on the fear or the unbelief, and instead choose to fix your eyes on Jesus and what he's telling you. He's telling you, don't fear, I'm with you. You know, fear actually causes pain. Women who are in labor, who are afraid, experience more pain. There is a buildup of adrenaline that occurs when they are afraid. It's how you view or perceive the pain. You can see this pain as something to accept, as something positive, that's going to give you something that you ultimately want, like a baby. Or you can view it as the worst thing that you're ever going to go through in your life, and as if simply surviving is the end goal. I'll tell you what causes pain. The way you respond to it. So you can't control the pain. You can't control the growth that's going to take place that is necessary to move you in a forward direction, but you can control how you react to it. Can I tell you, the growing is actually going to happen anyway. It's not something that we can stop, but you decide how you're getting there. Are you going kicking and screaming, pulling tantrums? Because I can tell you what, I've done that. But do you believe that there is a God that loves you, who has a purpose and a plan for you in the mess, in the pushing, in the pulling, in the thing that might feel like the end of you? But it's your choice. But what does it say next? Verse 2. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my state is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. The second thing that you can do while you're growing so that it doesn't have to feel painful is doubt your doubts. Fear, excuses, doubts, we all have them. Challenge them, question where they come from. Often thoughts come into our mind and we so easily accept them, but challenge them. Abram pointed out to God what he lacked. Don't you think God's up there already saying, yeah, I already know. And we're down here pointing out how this won't happen and how this can't be. We're doubting our situation because we haven't even given God a chance to speak and decide what he thinks about it. Half the time we've already written God off, so we don't even ask. Instead, we just point out why it's not going to work and why it's so impossible. God's already said he's going to do it, so you better believe that he will. You know, when you focus on what you lack, you often feel pain. Why is that? It's because you're attacking your own identity, the identity that God gave you. What have you got to lose by doubting your doubts anyway? Is it possible that your doubts could be wrong? My suspicion is yes. The third thing is be patient. I hate this word. It always feels like something God is developing in me. You're going to need some patience if you want to experience this kind of growth without all the pain that's attached to it. Verse 4 to 5 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, 'Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'" God already promised it. So write those promises down. Put them on your wall. Remind yourself of what God said. Abram didn't have the birth of his son in his arms the next day after God promised it. Even if what God promised was coming to pass the next day, I don't know if you realize, but it takes 9 months to grow a baby. There's no way it was going to happen any sooner than that. And you know what? Abram was probably going to count himself lucky if God gave him one child. But God blows that out of the water and says, you're not even going to be able to count them, the generations coming after you. They are going to be as numerous as the stars. Isn't this what you want? Isn't this the perfect example of fullness and wholeness in your life? God wants to do exceedingly and abundantly, more than you could ever imagine. But do you believe that? Like truly deep down in your heart, do you believe that? Because I think sometimes it's easy for us to believe that for other people, to encourage other people. But when it comes to ourselves, we cheapen it and we look at ourselves and think, well, I'm not worth that. Or it hasn't happened before, so why would I get the desire that I have in my heart that I really want now? But you know, cheapening that, cheapening your worth, cheapening God's love for you, cheapening the God of the universe and who he is, that's what causes pain. The fourth thing you can do while you're growing so that it doesn't have to be painful is keep your heart right. Where do you believe? In your heart. You think with your head and you believe in your heart. Verse 6, Abram believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. This verse actually blows my mind because do you know what that means? It means to be in right standing with God. You don't even have to do anything. It says all you have to do is believe. That is huge. God said, so he believed. It was as simple as that. But is it really that simple? How many times do we question what God said? Maybe you doubt and think, is it just my voice? Or is it just my will? But how do you get to know God's voice? It's by spending time with him. And you know what? Does it really matter if you get it wrong? If you believed something and you're not sure if it's God or not, hey, you're better to believe because God says it will be credited to you as righteousness. God will work out the rest. So long as God's not calling you to hurt someone, if it's just to do with the direction of your life and your future and the choices that you have to make or actions that you need to take, well, all you need to do is keep your heart pure, keep it integral, keep your intentions and your motivations with the absolute integrity of your heart. That's actually all we're called to do. The Holy Spirit will guide you through the rest. I'll tell you what the consequences are of not keeping your heart right. It's pain, it's bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, and hurt towards God. I've been there. The last thing you can do while you're growing, so that it doesn't have to feel painful, is do not forget the former things. Don't forget what God's already done in your life. Straight after this promise, God reminds Abram what he has already done. Why? Because God knows how easy it is for us to forget things. Look at the verse that comes next in verse 7. It says, "He also said to him, 'I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it.'" God will remind you how faithful he's already been in your life. So go back, remind yourself of the good things he's previously done. We can get so caught up in praying for such big things and feeling disappointed if those prayers don't get answered. But what about all the small things we could be praying for and seeing God move? Those answers to prayer is what actually helps build your faith. I actually wrote this message a year ago when I was going through something I never thought I would experience. And at the time, it felt like the most painful thing I could possibly go through. I was lying awake late at night in bed, crying out to God and questioning him because I couldn't understand how I could possibly keep on going, believing a promise I felt like God had given me, but being in the midst of the struggle of waiting for it to come to pass. The deepest desire that has been in my heart since I was a little girl is to be married. I never wanted to go through multiple relationships or heartbreak or a breakup. It was something that I never believed would happen to me. And yet it did. But what caught me off guard the most was the grief that was attached to that situation. It almost felt as bad as when my dad passed away. And I realized it's because I attached my hope to a person instead of to God, the one who gave me that desire in the first place. I didn't know what I was supposed to do or how I was supposed to keep moving forward while I was waiting and hurting. The whole thing felt hopeless, but I knew that God was growing me and shaping my character, and there was something good that was going to come out of this, but I just didn't know how. And I felt like God gave me these key things to do and to focus on to keep me going during that time. But just as God reminded Abram who he was and what he'd already done in his life, so God reminded me. The grief I felt when my dad passed away led to a year of growing and healing and ended with a whole heart, multiple blessings, and hope for my future. So I knew just as God had already done it before, he was going to do it again. Just like I was talking before earlier about how when you've experienced something before, you know you're going to get through it the next time, and it doesn't seem like such a huge battle. I know that if I hadn't gone through those things, I wouldn't be here today. I would never have taken on the young adults ministry. I would never have moved into my home. These are all huge blessings that God has given to me. Proverbs 13, verse 12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when a desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life." It's that "but" that got me. Psalm 147, verse 11 says, "The Lord delights in those who fear him, those who put their hope in his unfailing love." These verses made me question where I'd put my hope. Because when our hope is in God, it is never deferred. God's timing is always perfect. Habakkuk 2, verse 2 to 4 says, "Then the Lord replied, 'Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay." Even though I wrote this message a year ago, it's taken me a year to outwork all these things. And I can tell you I am proof that believing these things and doing these things actually works. What causes pain is disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. So go and remind yourself that God is good, that he's working in the mess. He didn't cause the pain, but he's working in it. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So what do I mean by growth that leads to fullness and wholeness in our lives? My story could look very different. It means that you're going to come out the other side of this unharmed, not worse off or being five steps backwards from where you were. Pain, from what I've witnessed, doesn't lead to fullness and wholeness. It's pain that actually leaves scars. It leaves trauma. It's debilitating and it numbs you. I'm not saying that this isn't going to be deeply uncomfortable, but what I'm saying is you're going to be more mature, wiser, stronger, more resilient, full of faith, because what you believed, you got to see come to pass. You're going to come out of this with a positive perspective, not a negative one. You're going to come out of this moving forward and not backward, with a clear vision and with a new perspective. You know what causes pain? When we are afraid, when we doubt God's promises, when we aren't patient, when we don't keep our hearts right, and when we forget the former things. The promise was coming. God said, Abram believed, God promised. You know what's so beautiful about our God is that he doesn't lie. I don't know if you've been lied to before or you have this unbelief in your heart, but can I tell you, can I promise you that God is a God who is a father who keeps his promises? Abram caused himself pain. Time actually passed and he didn't get his promised son. He went about it his own way. He did his own thing. If you continue to read the story, you'll see that Abram agreed with his wife to sleep with his servant Hagar to give him a son. You know, when we do things in our own will, we not only hurt ourselves, but we hurt those that have somehow got involved, that we have gotten involved. Am I married yet? No, but it's not something I worry about anymore. I know God has given me this promise and one day it will be fulfilled. And maybe it doesn't look exactly the way that you thought or you had in mind, but God always knows what he's doing when he gives you a promise. So the story doesn't end there. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 to 2, it says, "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers.'" Abram was 86 years old when Hagar, his servant, bore him Ishmael. God gave him a promise and he had to wait 13 years to see that promise come to pass, let alone all the time before that. You know, I think there's a reason why God doesn't tell us how long we're going to have to wait for a promise to be fulfilled. Because would you wait that long? If God told me I had to wait another 13 years to be married, I'd be like, stuff you, going to go and figure it out myself. Clearly, Abram did exactly what I just said. He tried to go about it his own way and make it happen, the way that he thought would be a better option. But do you believe that God knows better? Because I think a lot of the time, we actually don't. We think that we know better. But Abram and all of this still had to make a choice. God said, "Walk before me faithfully and blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Another version says this, "I am God Almighty. Walk habitually before me with integrity, knowing that you are always in my presence, and be blameless and complete in obedience to me." Pastor Tim preached on this morning about the habits that we create in our life, and one of those habits is being in God's presence regularly. I read this quote by David Benner in one of my college textbooks this year, and it says this, "St. Ignatius of Loyola notes that sin is unwillingness to trust that what God wants is our deepest happiness. Until I am absolutely convinced of this, I will do everything I can to keep my hands in the controls of my life because I think I know better than God what I need for my fulfillment." When I read this quote, I realized this is something I've wrestled with for a very long time. I believed I knew better than God what would make me happy and what would fulfill me. And yet God has brought so many things into my life that I thought I didn't want, and yet they have been the greatest blessing to me. So when you're faced with a challenge, with something that is forcing you to mature and grow, what will you do? My encouragement is, don't be afraid, doubt your doubts, be patient, keep your heart right, don't forget the former things, and stay in God's will. But how do you stay in God's will? Well, I actually believe you do all those five things beforehand on repeat, and you're going to see that promise come to pass without having to experience pain. Yes, it will be uncomfortable, but it doesn't have to be painful. So there's just a couple of people that I wanted to pray for tonight. Maybe you find yourself in a season or a period of waiting. Maybe you're waiting for a relationship to be restored. Maybe you're waiting to be healed from something. Maybe you're waiting for a breakthrough in your finances. Maybe you've been given a promise and, you know, you've been given something that you think you know what it is. You think that it's clear, but the way you're going, maybe God has something else in mind and you're having struggles with letting that go and allowing God to do what he wants to do in your life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if this is something that you want prayer for tonight, if this is something that you find yourself going through at the moment, believing a promise God has given you and you're waiting for it and you're not sure how to keep on going, the grief can sometimes seem like it's all-consuming. If you just wanted to give me a wave, I would really love to pray for you tonight. It's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. God, I just thank you for every single person that has raised their hand in this building tonight, God. I just thank you that you see them, Lord, that you know their situation better than they even do, God. And I just thank you that you know the plan and the purpose and the promise that you have for their life, God. So I just pray, Jesus, give them the strength to keep on going, God. Renew their ability to be patient, God. I pray that just as the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, God, that you would intercede, God, that they wouldn't doubt, God, but they would be reminded of the things that you've done in their life and the breakthrough that they've already seen, God. I just pray that their praise would be their weapon, God. It would be their victory, God, that they would have hope for their future, Lord. They wouldn't be dismayed by their situation, God, but their hope would be found in you. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God. And the second group of people I wanted to pray for tonight is maybe you don't know this God that I'm talking about. Maybe you've heard of a different version of a God and he sounds nothing like this. So if you don't know him personally and you want to have a relationship with him tonight, I want to invite you to put your hand up right now and I'm going to give you the opportunity to surrender your life to him. Thank you, God. Those that have just put up their hand, if you just want to say this, well, if everyone just wants to say this prayer with me tonight. God, I confess that I'm a sinner and I've gone my own way. I want to live for you. Come into my life and change me. Grow me how you want me. I want you to be in every single aspect of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we all stand together? We're going to worship.
Thank you for listening to this podcast.